Welcome back. We're midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. It's a Friday News Buzz edition of our program. Half dozen conversations about some news that we didn't get to otherwise during our talk shows. Coming up in just a few minutes, a University of Iowa lawsuit that pits gay rights against religious freedom. Also, another story, we'll talk with Bill Petrosky of the Des Moines Register about whether Iowa kids should be required to learn patriotism in school and what that might mean. But first, this week, animal rescue organizations rushed to offer assistance in what appears to be a massive animal hoarding situation. Joined now by Preston Moore. He's Director of Development and Community Outreach at the Cedar Valley Humane Society. Hello, Preston.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We had originally were set to talk with your executive director at the Cedar Valley Humane Society, Lonnie Viner, but she was called away. Is this another issue of animal hoarding, or what's happened? Do we know?
Yes. You know, unfortunately, there's never a dull moment around here, and we got a call this morning to help with 20 dogs that were in kind of some bad conditions, and I can't go into too many details right now, but we are doing exactly what we're here to do, and we opened our doors for 20 dogs. She's in the middle of that rescue right now.
Okay, well, thank you for stepping in for Lonnie. We hope that goes well with those animals. Let's go back earlier in the week. I think this is Tuesday. The Vinton Police Department investigating it. Describe what was found at the Vinton residence.
We got a call early on Tuesday to head to Vinton to assist with what we were told was several hundred animals in a home. And we got there, and several hundred quickly became, you know, probably closer to 1,000 animals, guinea pigs, rabbits, rodents of all sorts, some reptiles, birds, chinchillas, you know, several exotic types of animals, all packed into one room, primarily in the basement, and then there were some enclosures on the first floor of the home as well. Wow. But 8 hours later, we and some of our rescue partners removed all of the animals from that home and have begun the process of getting them medical evaluations and medical care.
So describe some of the conditions. I understand there were dead animals, decaying animals among the living, right?
That's correct. Yes, there were some enclosures where there were living rabbits and guinea pigs alongside animals that hadn't been dead, not for just a couple of days, but probably a number of weeks based on the decay levels. There were literally hundreds and hundreds of cages, floor to ceiling, every wall, every counter space, every table was full with animals. You know, we would pull the washer and dryer away from the wall, and there were more animals, both living and deceased, behind there. Almost every square inch of the basement was filled with an animal.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think it's anything. I mean, you cover these things. You're sent out to help in these situations. I imagine you never get used to something like this.
Absolutely not. This isn't something you can get used to. You know, when we got a call saying there were several hundred animals, we sort of prepared for the worst-case scenario. We loaded up every kennel that we had, every enclosure, every tank into our vehicles and headed that way. But, you know, by expecting the worst, we really weren't even prepared. It was even worse than that.
Mm-hmm. Is that an emotional experience for those who go out?
Yes. You know, I was there helping unload these animals from that home. And in the moment, you know, your first reaction is to be upset and emotional because you do care about these animals. And you care for the people that are there that have, I guess, hoarded these animals as well, because something clearly isn't happening correctly in their lives. You know, you feel for these people and for the animals, and you don't really take it all in emotionally until later that day, because your first priority is to get all the animals out of the home and into a shelter environment where we can get them medical care.
Mm-hmm.
But in the days since, definitely, you know, you can see on all of our staff's faces and our volunteers' faces, this is hard. These animals have not had proper food and water or medical care for a very long time.
Mm.
And most of them have a variety of medical ailments that we're treating. It's tough, absolutely.
Yeah. Explain to us as much as you can of how you understand the thinking of someone who hoards animals like this.
I am not sure in the specific case why this person had so many animals. I do know that she has said publicly that many of them were show animals for her children, for 4-H and for different competitions. But there is no feasible way a handful of people could show and exhibit literal thousands of animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We've received a number of tips from people that have seen this family selling animals, both online and at flea market type events. So I can only sort of speculate, but I'd imagine these animals were for sale.
Yeah.
We do know that she had requested the city of Vinton to give her permission to sell snakes in city limits, and that was denied. We do know she did not have licensing through the state to operate as any sort of a pet retailer. So I'm not sure how it got so bad so quickly, but we just don't know how it got this bad.
Right. I don't know if the name has been made public of this woman, the people who live at this house. I don't know if you know, will charges be filed? Who is it, if we know publicly yet?
The woman's name is out there publicly. Her name is Babs Galkowski. We do not know if there are charges being filed right now. And that's not really our place as the Humane Society to do that. What I can say is that we're cooperating very fully with the Vinton Police Department and any other agencies that have reached out to provide all the information, all of the vet evaluation paperwork, photos and that sort of thing, so that they can pursue charges if that's something that they decide to do. It's difficult in Iowa because of the way that our animal welfare laws are set up. This state, and rightfully so, is set up to protect our agriculture businesses. But I think any reasonable person could look and see a very distinct difference between a commercial hog lot and having 1,000 guinea pigs and rabbits in a basement.
Mm-hmm. For those who may run across something, I mean, this was called attention to by neighbors, I understand. The search warrant was gained. You mentioned a few of the neighbors there. When should you act? When should you call the Humane Society or the police?
We always recommend that people do call the police or county sheriff departments, depending on where they live. The process for getting animals removed like this always starts with law enforcement. And so if somebody is concerned about something they see with animals, we always, always recommend that they reach out to law enforcement in their area. And typically law enforcement partners with an agency like ours for animal removal and animal sheltering. And so that's really the route that people do need to take.
Just to mention here that the Cedar Valley Humane Society is accepting donations to assist with the care of these animals, right? How can people get in touch?
Absolutely. People can donate if they'd wish on our website at cvhumane.org, or they can find our address and, of course, mail contributions or items that way. They can also drop them off in person.
Okay. Preston Moore, Director of Development and Community Outreach at the Cedar Valley Humane Society, will let you get back to it and join Lonnie Viner, your Executive Director there. As we heard at the start of this conversation, more than 20 rescue dogs that you're racing to attend to now. Thank you, Preston.